Randala. Hey, how are you feeling?
Little settled. How are you feeling?
Oh, good.
Sorry. How's the black eyes? The black is going away.
Do what?
Your black eye. Did it get better?
Oh yeah. It's just about gone. Just about gone.
I hear your babies in the background.
Yeah, I think my dog has cornered a critter or something, so he's barking at it. They bark at all kinds of things, lizards, roaches, you know, bugs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that really, like it's like, really? You think that bug is going to come down and let you look at it? Anyway, I'll go up in a little while and see what he's barking at.
Mm-hmm. You heard from Hannah and Tony?
Yeah, I got a short message that she came home. They came home around 5 o'clock, and to find out that their air conditioner was not working.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh. And so what I can understand from what she wrote me was that it had to do with something with the breaker and that that home health is supposed to come tomorrow. And anyway, that's all I know is she said in her message she was going to be really busy.
I guess everything went well.
Well, she didn't say, but I imagine it did. So... And I had to go to work early today. We had a group coming for 10 o'clock. I had to go real early before that. And I'm glad I did because I got off early. And it must have been after I got off. They had a crazy man with a gun that was close to where I work. And he shot someone. Yeah, it was on the news tonight or I wouldn't have known about it. And he was at one of the places on 7th Street that I normally go to get a lunch or something, you know, sometime, or groceries. It's a little grocery store. And then he was over there by close to where I work, and he discharged his firearm and shot somebody in, shot a lady in the leg.
Oh, no.
And then they finally arrested him, and then they took him to the jail in Beaumont, and then he got away from the police.
Really?
And then they finally, yeah, and they got him back in custody. But that's kind of scary.
I know, right? You
know? Yeah, people are just, I just don't know what's wrong with people anymore. I'm going to take this phone call. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Sorry to be late.
All right.
Any questions?
Brandy's on the line, and she had to take a phone call, so I'm not sure if she has any tonight.
Who's on the line? I didn't hear the first name.
I'm sorry, repeat that?
I didn't hear the name of who else is on the line who had to take
the
phone call.
Brandy.
Oh, Brandy's? Okay. So what, do you have any questions? So we can start with yours.
trying to think of the last study we did, but I was on the phone anyway, on the call. I was just reading about Yosef and Yaakov and the coat that Yaakov made for him. It was a
yes.
coat of light. What does that mean, a coat of light? Or, I know it's a protection, some kind of protection, but I mean, was it a multicolored linen? I think we did talk about that. It was a fine linen, wasn't it? That he paid, what did we? Paid 20.
No, the coat of many colors, that's the way the English translation usually translates it. But
I guess
it doesn't make any sense because a parent is aware of sibling rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And so a parent knows not to give a gift to one child that he doesn't give to other children. Or it can be that you give something to a child as a gift or something special that they've earned, but to the other children, you give something else. It just, a person of Jacob's stature, you just can't imagine that level of a person giving a gift to Joseph when he knows that his other sons are really angry with Joseph for telling stories to him about them.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Zohar, it explains that the coat was a coat of light. L-I-G-H-T.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really have to understand what does it mean when the Torah says light. Now, we use the word light quite frequently in the Kabbalah. And the simple way of explaining the word light is this is what was created on the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the idea that Hashem shares and light shares. Because if you light a candle and light another candle, the original candle is not diminished. There's just more light. This is the idea of sharing. The more that you share, the more happiness there is, the more beauty there is, the more of whatever you're sharing there is. What you share doesn't diminish, it expands. Now, let's go back to the 7 days of creation in chapter 1 of Genesis. On the first day of creation, it says that God created light, and there was light. And then it goes through a couple of other days, and we get to day 4, where it says God created the sun and the moon. Well, in our world, before the electric light bulb and before candles and before outdoor fires, campgrounds, what was light? It was the sun and the moon. So how could light be the sun and the moon created on the fourth day, and there had to be something else created on the first day to be called light? So from my perspective, when I heard the story of the endless world that is composed of two things, light and vessel. Vessel is the desire to receive. Light is the fulfillment of that desire. Light is something that wants to be revealed. Light is something spiritual that needs a vessel to reveal it. But when we say it needs a vessel to reveal it, we're saying that it needs to recognize that it has a desire for something, and that vessel then goes out to find what it lacks. The recognition that it has a desire for something establishes that the vessel has a lack. Now, with what I just said and the understanding of the concepts of light and vessel, Jacob gave Joseph a coat of light. He gave Joseph a coat, a garment, something to wear that would fulfill a vessel, whether it's Joseph's vessel or other people's vessel. Whether it was Joseph's desire or was it light that would fulfill other people and stop them from harming Joseph. We term that a protection shield. Light is a protection shield. By fulfilling the desires around something, the vessels no longer feel a lack. And if they no longer feel a lack, there's no reason to harm the person that the light is surrounding, that the light is caring for, that the light is involved with. No longer a reason to harm the person wearing the light, wearing the coat. Now, there's a deeper level, which I don't have the details by memory, but the four letters that spells the word that is translated many colored. In Hebrew, those four letters are an anagram for certain levels of Torah, meaning certain levels of fulfillment, representing the four different worlds. So what Jacob was giving to Joseph was a protection shield that is labeled or called or translated as coat, but he was also giving levels of Torah that Joseph could use to protect himself. Those are just two or three of the many different understandings of this concept of Jacob giving something to Joseph, because Jacob was a prophet and he knew that his son was going to be put in danger. So he gave him the tools to protect himself. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm. You did?
Okay. Any other questions?
I think I'm sure I've got many.
You always have many, but sometimes you don't remember them. So
sometimes I very vividly, until we get on the call, it's like, okay, I need to write them down, because during the week I come up with all kind of questions, and I need to take time to write those down.
I highly recommend you write down every question, because the writing of a question serves two purposes, many more, but two specifically. When you write the question down, you reinforce your understanding. When you see a question in writing, it really clarifies, do I really need an answer to this, or it's not that important for me to ask. By seeing the question in writing, it gives you clarity on whether it's a valid question to ask. And also, when you see the question in writing, you know what, sometimes you just, by seeing it in writing, you know what the answer is. And you don't have to ask the question. Now, I'm not implying that if you ask questions that you shouldn't, because you don't. You ask valid questions. But it's a good habit to get into, to write your questions down, because human memory is subjective. What do I mean by human memory is subjective? Because you don't remember the events that happen exactly the way they happen. You remember them on a subjective level, on an interpretative level. Your memory of an event that happened in your life is colored by the feelings you had at that moment. So, and that applies to intellectual things as well as emotional things. So it's really a good habit to get into, to write questions down, write events down. Part of that is the process recommended in the Torah and by people to contemplate what your day was like as you go to sleep. That contemplation is a form of asking questions. It's a form of writing down the questions. It's a form of remembering the events so that you can remember it clearly the next day. Writing is not necessarily what you have, that you have to physically write something with pencil and paper or type it into the computer. But writing can be many different levels of reinforcing the events that created the question.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know if Brandy has been...
No,
I'm sorry,
she had to take a phone call. She had to say, she said she had to take a phone call, so I'm not sure she's going to come back on or not.
Oh, I was just checking to see if she had, so that's fine.
Okay. I'm here. I'm just listening.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank
you. I will ask the question, Brandy. Do you have any questions?
Well, I'm kind of like Monica. I have a bunch of them, but I can't remember them now.
Well, always remember to write them down.
I will. It's kind of like the Alka-Seltzer disease. It's plop, plop, fizz, fizz, and it fizzles on out.
Well, the secret to Alka-Seltzer is to drink it before it fizzles.
Really? I thought you had to let it fizzle first.
That's the question.
Yeah.
You brought a question out in her. How about that, Hanoi? You're good. You're really good. Oh, goodness.
Although I do not recommend taking Alka-Seltzer.
Mm-hmm.
Because Alka-Seltzer has a chemical known as aluminum. Not a chemical, it's a metal. And people who take stomach acids and things like Alka-Seltzer that has aluminum in the item, there's a hint, a tendency for the Alzheimer's to come out in that person towards the end of their life. So, and if you start to read anything about Alzheimer's or dementia, which are two different things, but we lump them together in the common discussions. There's something that goes on in the brain that creates the blockages to the memories. And so within those blockages, there's a high concentration of the metals that are in the stomach acids, that the anti-acid, like Alka-Seltzer and Tums and so forth. So I don't recommend you take a lot of it unless, you know, you're better off dealing with the root of the problem, not covering it up with the quick fix.
What's the spiritual reason for Alzheimer's or dementia? Do you know?
I don't know specifically. I just my off the cuff response would be, the person who is developing Alzheimer's or dementia usually is a person who had really great ego involvement with their memory, with their capacity for being bright, their brain, and all of a sudden they lose themselves slowly so that they know they're losing themselves. And it's not that they're losing themselves. They just can't communicate anymore.
From intelligence?
The intelligence is still there, but they can't communicate it. The intelligence is still there. The memories are still there. They just can't be gotten out. Those memories is just chemical interaction.
Hmm.
On the physical level. Now, the real memory exists outside of the human brain. It exists in the consciousness, which is something outside of the human brain. There's a physical brain, and then there's a spiritual mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get thoughts through your spiritual mind. But on the physical level, so the spiritual cause of Alzheimer's has to do with helping someone overcome their ego, where they think of themselves as smart or unique or special, and helps to for them to realize that they have to turn to Hashem to recover those memories, to remove those blockages.
So when someone is really genius beyond, I mean, where do they get that intellect from? I know you get it from Hashem in the spiritual brain. Some people are just very, very, they're geniuses, you know. Not that I've met too many of them.
Well, geniuses are given that level of brain power because they need that to do their tikkun. Every human being is given the tools that they need to do their tikkun. And the first step that an adult has to answer, the first question that an adult has to ask itself and then find its answer is, what is my tikkun? Why was I born? What am I supposed to do here? And if you don't ask those questions or you don't search for the answer, the universe and Hashem is going to send you messages, blockages, and wake-up calls to help you achieve the answers to those questions. So, but every human being is given the tools that they need to do their tikkun. Even if there are people who that I eat lunch with almost every day, both of them live in a group home, which is for adults, handicapped people, not physical, but mentally challenged. I don't want to describe one as a mongoloid. I think that's the term. And the other is just generally slow in his brain capacity. But even people like this that most people would look down upon, most people would say, you know, what was the purpose? Or if one of my students has a daughter because her mother was an alcoholic, she had fetal alcohol syndrome, which has affected her brain capacity. So she comes from two very bright parents, even though one is an alcoholic. But the result is that she doesn't have that capacity because of the fetal alcohol syndrome. But she has a very specific purpose in life, just like every other human being. And she is given all the tools that she needs to achieve that tikkun. So the person who is born extremely bright has that tool to achieve their tikkun. Maybe they're supposed to invent the atomic bomb, as in the case of Einstein and the other physicists in the 30s and 40s, 20s, 30s, and 40s. But whatever the purpose of each person is, they're given the tool that they need. Other questions?
And we, in today's time, can get assistance. I think you can help with that, if I can recall. About
yes.
Trying to figure our yes, okay.
Yes, I can help you find why you were born. What is your tikkun? In a general sense, you know, specifically.
Would that be like
you have to do the specific to yourself. Part of
right.
the part of being human is struggling to find out why you were born.
And how long is that process?
It's anywhere from a half hour to 1,000 years.
Is that a face-to-face kind of meeting, or is that?
You mean with me and
yeah.
someone who wants to answer that question?
Right.
Well, it starts with the tikkun based on your astrology.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're at that level, you'll start to see how your life experiences relate to your tikkun. And ultimately, it grows on you. But it's so it takes something face to face. It just says it takes a birth date.
Mm-hmm.
And location, so that I can determine some aspects of the astrology, and then I can tell you the north node and the south node at the moment of your birth, and then what that says about your tikkun. But always remember, it's not just one tikkun. That would be then the major
okay.
issue of the tikkun is about the astrology that you're born with, because
mm-hmm.
What that's really saying is, astrologically, the universe is going to push you through the astrology to situations where you can achieve your tikkun. So the issue becomes one of finding out what your north and south node is and then absorbing the information and then proceeding to evaluate your life up to this point as to what is the lessons that your tikkun is telling you, and how have I experienced my tikkun without understanding that it was my tikkun. And then you start to see how your life experiences are all part of your tikkun. So essentially, it's a very short time for me to give you the information, but it's a lifetime for you to learn what you need to learn.
Right. I don't know what time of the day I was born. I'm not sure.
For this purpose, it is necessary.
Mm-hmm. I've asked, and no one seems, and I even tried to get birth certificate. Sometimes they did put it on, sometimes they didn't, and I'm finding out in the year that I was born, mine did not have that time on it. So,
as I said, it's not important for this purpose to know the time of your of your birth. But the location and the date is important.
You mean city, state, that type of location, is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry?
You mean location as the city and state?
Or the country, city, and state.
Okay.
The for some people, they'll give me the longitude and latitude. So it depends on how you perceive things. But essentially, the city and state is adequate. The zip code is adequate. It all gives me the information that I can use to find out where on the earth you were born.
Okay.
Other questions?
That's all I have for tonight.
Okay. You all be well.
Be well.
Right, thank you. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.